Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know the drill. We take your burning questions, a stack of fascinating sources you've provided, and distill it all into insights you can actually use. Today, we're plunging headfirst into a topic that's clearly piqued your interest. The intriguing and, yeah, somewhat viral world of nicotine pouches. It's evident from the questions you've sent in that there's a real curiosity about this whole tobacco-free trend. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack what your materials reveal about the key benefits and maybe the often overlooked potential downsides of these increasingly popular alternatives. Okay, let's unpack this.
It truly is a timely topic, yeah. And important, especially given how quickly nicotine pouches seem to be growing as an alternative to, you know, traditional tobacco products. What's crucial for us today, I think, is to go beyond just the surface level. We need to really dissect the information to understand not just what these things are, but their real-world impact, specifically for adult nicotine users. We're aiming for a discussion that's balanced, comprehensive, and ultimately deeply informative for you.
Absolutely. So diving right into our sources then, what's the absolute first thing that leaps out, the primary draw for these products? I mean, the name itself gives us a big clue, doesn't it?
It really does, unequivocally. The most compelling aspect, and something your sources highlight again and again, is that these pouches are completely smoke-free. And crucially, they contain no tobacco leaf. This isn't just like a marketing slogan. It's a fundamental difference in the product itself.
Right. That's a game changer right there, isn't it? Not lighting anything up immediately cuts out the most damaging parts. Mm-hmm. No inhaling toxic tar or those, well, countless carcinogens we know are in cigarette smoke. And crucially, no smoke also means no secondhand smoke exposure for anyone around you. That's huge. Our deep dive into the material consistently highlights a significantly lower health risk compared to smoking, specifically avoiding that infamous cocktail of 7,000 plus chemicals in cigarette smoke. But, you know, beyond the big health implications, there are some incredibly practical advantages too, right? Like no vapor, absolutely no odor, your clothes, your home, your car, they stay fresh and smoke-free. Plus, you eliminate that risk of accidental fire since nothing's actually burning. It sounds like a dramatically cleaner way to get nicotine.
And what's fascinating here, and this is sort of a core philosophical insight from the sources, is how this ties directly into the concept of harm reduction. This isn't just a buzzword. I mean, it's about offering a drastically lower risk pathway for adult nicotine users who, for whatever reason, maybe aren't ready or able to quit entirely just yet. For these individuals, pouches offer a way to greatly reduce their exposure to the harmful toxins that are just packed into traditional cigarettes. Now, it's vital to clarify, and your sources stress this, nicotine pouches are not an FDA-approved quit smoking aid, okay? But they can serve as a practical stepping stone, a kind of legitimate pathway to quit tobacco by switching to something far less harmful first. This shift can provide, well, a much-needed break for the lungs. And many users report they might breathe easier, literally just knowing they're not inhaling smoke every single day. It's about choosing a profoundly less damaging option.
Yeah, that distinction around harm reduction versus cessation aid is so important to make. Okay, but beyond the health angles, what about just the day-to-day experience? How do these pouches actually fit into someone's life? Because convenience seems like another huge factor our sources point to.
Oh, it absolutely is. And this is where the discretion becomes, well, paramount. We're talking about these small white pouches, right? You just tuck one into your upper lip. That's pretty much it. There's no smoke, no vapor, so you don't step outside for a smoke break or draw any attention. You can use them indoors, at work, maybe even on a plane, or virtually anywhere without anyone noticing. And for users perhaps accustomed to traditional oral tobacco like dip or chew, the completely mess-free and spit-free nature is a significant advantage. No gross spit cups, no awkward spitting, you just swallow your saliva normally. For many, that's not just convenient, it's a huge psychological win, isn't it? Our sources show many brands really focus on designing their pouches for a comfortable fit and minimal drip, making them barely noticeable.
That incredible discretion sounds, well, revolutionary for users. But does this very invisibility also open up any new challenges? Or maybe public perception issues that our sources touch upon? Or is it mostly seen as a plus?
Primarily a benefit for the adult user, at least according to the materials we looked at. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this level of convenience truly offers users a tremendous amount of freedom. Think about it. A can of nicotine pouches is small. Fits right in your pocket, you can carry it anywhere. There's no lighter needed, no device like a vape, no charger, nothing. It's just a quick, easy option whenever you want it. The odorless nature also has huge social benefits. It completely removes that stigma of tobacco smell clinging to you. It's probably no wonder they've kind of gone viral on social media, right? With people showing off how they can use them virtually anywhere, anytime, without anyone knowing. For adult nicotine users, that kind of personal freedom and discretion is undeniably a huge draw.
Okay, so convenience is a major win, but wait until you hear about the sheer variety our sources point to. This part's pretty interesting. If you're tired of cigarettes that mostly taste like, let's be honest, an ashtray, then our sources show nicotine pouches really open up a whole new kind of culinary adventure for your mouth. An amazing variety of fun flavors. We're talking way beyond just classic mint and menthol. You'll find vibrant fruity options like citrus and berry, or even more exotic choices like coffee, cinnamon, cola. I even saw dragon fruit mentioned. Our deep dive mentions specific brands, White Fox, known for its icy mints, Velo with its crisp peppermint, Killa for bold flavors like cola and watermelon, Melon and Scruff Super White doing blends like blackberry mint. But it's not just about flavor, is it? Nicotine strength is also highly tailored. You can find low strength pouches, really mild, like 2 milligrams or 4 milligrams,
yeah,
all the way up to extra strong options at 8 milligrams, 12 milligrams, or even 15, 20 milligrams in some brands. For instance, Velo pouches, they range from 4 milligrams up to 17 milligrams, apparently. And White Fox offers 12 milligrams and 16 milligrams. That's an incredible range. But beyond just personal preference, how does this vast array of flavors and strengths actually benefit a user? Does it help them stick with the product, maybe, or even manage their intake differently?
Yeah, here's where it truly gets interesting for the user experience, I think. This huge selection means you can really find your perfect fit quite precisely. Whether you're maybe transitioning from heavy smoking or just looking for a milder nicotine effect, you can manage your intake with a lot more granularity. And crucially, you could potentially step down your usage over time if that's your goal by picking progressively lower strengths. This variety also plays a pretty significant psychological role, according to the sources. It helps users stick with pouches and maybe not revert back to smoking simply because they don't get bored. The option to switch flavors throughout the day keeps the experience fresh and engaging. And let's not overlook the simple, immediate pleasure of just having a nicer taste in your mouth. A mint pouch can actually freshen your breath, which is a stark, welcome contrast to ashtray breath. It's really about making the entire nicotine experience more enjoyable and more personalized for the user.
Okay, now for something you might not immediately connect with nicotine, but our sources consistently highlight this. A potential cognitive edge. Many pouch users report that nicotine isn't just about curbing cravings, but it can actually sort of perk up your brain a bit. They describe a subtle boost in focus, alertness, and concentration. Think of it maybe like that sharp, clarifying kick you get from a strong cup of coffee, but for your mind, helping you feel more awake and attentive.
Mm-hmm.
This could be particularly useful, you know, if you're fighting that afternoon slump or trying to buckle down on a tough task, maybe studying, working on a complex project, or even trying to maintain focus during an intense gaming session. It offers that familiar mental kick, but without the smoke, or maybe the crash that sometimes comes with too much caffeine.
This raises an important question, though, about the science behind it, and yeah, our sources do dive into this. Nicotine is indeed a mild stimulant. When it's absorbed, it can trigger the release of key neurotransmitters like dopamine and acetylcholine, and these are known to enhance alertness and cognitive functioning. Research has actually found that nicotine can improve things like attention, memory, and mental processing speed, at least in the short term. There was one Johns Hopkins pharmacologist quoted who even called nicotine the most reliable cognitive enhancer we have. But, and this is crucial, he immediately qualified this by emphasizing its, quote, bizarre and addictive nature. So while that focus boost seems to be a real documented effect, it absolutely comes with significant caveats. We certainly don't recommend, and the sources don't either, starting nicotine just to gain focus, especially since there are other, safer ways to stay sharp. If you're already a nicotine user, you might experience this effect in a cleaner form with pouches, sure, but moderation is absolutely key. You want to avoid getting jittery or becoming dependent purely for cognitive reasons or experiencing a subsequent crash. It's really about understanding that it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's a really important clarification. The idea of a cognitive boost is compelling, especially with the science bit, but those caveats are critical. Okay, let's shift gears slightly to something more immediate and maybe visible, the aesthetic and oral health perks. Because let's face it, smoking is undeniably messy and smelly. What do our sources say about how pouches clean up that act?
Oh, they clean it up dramatically. A huge benefit that just jumps out from our deep dive is simply no stink. Your clothes, your hair, your breath, your living spaces, they won't carry that lingering stale cigarette odor. Pouches are completely odor-free and smokeless, so there's essentially no smell at all. Zip. You can maintain fresh breath, which is especially true if you're using one of those, you know, invigorating minty flavors we talked about. And when it comes to your smile, the contrast is pretty stark. Pouches are much less likely to stain your teeth. Unlike cigarettes, which are notorious for yellowing teeth due to tar and all those other chemicals, pouches contain no tar and are typically all white in composition. Nicotine itself is actually colorless and water-soluble, so it doesn't really stick to enamel in the same way tobacco tar does. Many users actually report their teeth staying noticeably whiter after switching from smoking.
That's a huge win for just personal presentation and confidence, I'd imagine. But when we talk about oral health more specifically, how do pouches compare to, say, traditional chewing tobacco, which also goes in the mouth, obviously? Are there any downsides there for gum health we should mention?
Right. When we compare the oral impact, the sources suggest pouches are generally gentler on your mouth than traditional chewing tobacco, or snus for that matter. There's no biting or chewing involved, and because they're spit-free, you don't have to deal with those gritty tobacco bits potentially getting stuck in your gums or irritating things. However, it is worth acknowledging a potential downside that our sources do highlight. Nicotine pouches can still cause some gum irritation for certain users. This seems especially true if you leave them in one spot for too long, or maybe if you're using very high-strength pouches one after another. The good news, generally, is that this irritation is usually described as mild and short-term, often just a slight tingling sensation. And it can often be managed pretty simply by just rotating the pouch's position in your mouth. Don't keep it in the same spot all the time. This is quite a significant difference from smoking, which over many years can lead to really serious gum disease. Pouches seem to have much less impact on oral tissues, mainly because they lack the harsh chemicals and the direct irritation from smoke. So yeah, in essence, you're looking at no more smoke stains, no foul odors, and generally a cleaner oral experience compared to smoking or traditional oral tobacco.
Okay, so after hearing all these, frankly, pretty compelling benefits, the harm reduction aspect, the sheer convenience, the flavor variety, even a potential cognitive boost, and these aesthetic perks, you might be thinking, okay, what's the catch here? And that's a critical question, right? It's absolutely essential to approach this with a truly balanced perspective. Our sources are very clear on this point. While nicotine pouches are a significantly safer alternative to smoking for adult tobacco users, they are not completely risk-free. That's key. Can you walk us through the significant caveats and the potential downsides that our deep dive uncovered? What are the risks we need to know about?
Absolutely, and this is crucial. The biggest risk, the one that cannot be overstated, is addiction. Nicotine itself is a highly addictive chemical, full stop. Now, for adult nicotine users who are already dependent, pouches can satisfy that craving in a less harmful way. But for those who aren't already addicted, and this is so important, starting to use them could very easily lead to a new dependence. This is exactly why our sources strongly advise that teens and non-smokers should absolutely steer clear. Nicotine can hook you fast, and there are concerns about its effects on developing brains. The message from the materials is very clear. Don't start using nicotine pouches if you aren't already addicted to nicotine. Period. Beyond addiction, there are other health considerations too. Overusing pouches, or maybe using very strong ones frequently, can lead to immediate side effects like nausea, maybe dizziness, or an upset stomach. Nicotine also causes that temporary increase in heart rate and blood pressure. That can be risky if you happen to have pre-existing heart conditions. Experts do caution about potential cardiovascular stress, gum damage, as we mentioned, though generally less than other products, and other issues if they're misused. Some heavy users report mouth soreness or even small lesions. And crucially, the long-term health effects of using nicotine delivered this way, especially via these newer flavored pouches, well, they're still being studied. We don't have decades of data yet. So while they are much safer than smoking, it's important to understand they are not healthy in an absolute sense.
Right. So a critical insight there seems to be, while it's a powerful step away from tobacco and smoke, it's vital to understand nicotine pouches are not some kind of quit nicotine magic bullet. Is that fair? They still supply the addictive chemical, so the path to complete cessation often involves a further reduction strategy, doesn't it? What does that mean for someone maybe trying to quit nicotine entirely?
That distinction is absolutely paramount for responsible use, yes. If your ultimate goal is to quit nicotine altogether, pouches still deliver it. So they're part of the equation, but not the final step necessarily. It's generally considered not ideal to dual use, meaning using pouches in addition to smoking or vaping. The sources suggest the best harm reduction approach is to switch completely. And then if your goal is full cessation, you'd gradually reduce pouch usage, maybe stepping down strength or frequency over time. It's also important to remember, as we said, they aren't officially approved as quit aids by regulators like the FDA. So what does this all mean for you, our listener, trying to make sense of it? Well, for current adult smokers, the consensus from the material seems to be that the pros of switching to nicotine pouches generally outweigh the cons because they eliminate tobacco combustion and smoke. But for non-users, especially young people, it's pretty much all risk with no real benefit. It really boils down to responsible use, seeing them as a replacement for much more harmful products, not as a new recreational hobby.
Yeah, that sums it up well. This deep dive has truly illuminated, I think, why so many people are turning to nicotine pouches. It seems to be about getting a cleaner, easier nicotine experience. For adult smokers and tobacco users, the material we've explored offers a pretty clear path to ditch the smoke and the actual tobacco leaf, while still getting that nicotine satisfaction and maybe even some of those focus perks.
Uh-huh.
We've seen popular brands like White Fox, Scruff Super White, Killa, and Velo offering a huge range of options, whether you like mint, fruit, coffee, or something else entirely. So if you're an adult smoker out there, maybe tired of the mess, the smell, and frankly, the pervasive health worries that come with traditional tobacco, our deep dive suggests exploring this alternative might be exactly what you need.
And as we wrap up, it kind of leaves us with an interesting thought for you to perhaps mull over. The whole landscape of nicotine products is just constantly evolving, isn't it? We see new alternatives emerging, sometimes faster than the long-term research can fully solidify. So the question becomes, how do we, as informed individuals, integrate these harm reduction tools, like pouches, into our understanding of public health? Especially when new products appear on the scene so quickly. And how do we grapple with those personal health choices in this changing world? It's truly a dynamic space, and it really demands continuous personal discernment, doesn't it? And ongoing attention to new information as it emerges. Something to think about.